Welcome to Radical Being. If you've tuned into this podcast before, you know that it's a show on self-awareness and shifting our dominant paradigm to help us get free of what limits us. And I frequently talk about the ways we're creating our own suffering. Today, I'm talking about patience and presence, both of which relate to self-awareness, but also ways that we're creating our own suffering through our impatience, in our hurried and harried and very entitled culture, rushing to get to the next moment. And as I've touched on in previous episodes, and again today, for most people, life is anything but the experience of alignment and flow and ease, mostly because we're caught in our attachments and agenda and expectations. And the secret is learning to drop that. Patience and presence are skills. They are learned. And there is a certain level of mastery involved. As I often say, freedom is earned. A couple of paradigm-shifting perspectives in today's show, as usual. One of them, as it relates to our impatience, is what if this moment is exactly as it needs to be, whether you like it or not? And as I just mentioned, what if you could come into alignment and flow and ease by dropping your agenda to be in any other moment than this one? And I end today's show with the possibility that there is tremendous power in simply being present with someone or simply life as it unfolds and whatever it brings us. Ready to get radical? Let's dive in. Welcome to Radical Being. I always like to give a shout out either at the beginning of the show or at the end that this is a video podcast, which of course is redundant if you're watching me on video at this moment. But for those who are tuning in on a standard audio-only podcast platform, Apple Podcasts or the numerous others, just know that there is a video version of this show available either on Spotify, which supports video, or the show's dedicated website, radicalbeingpodcast.com. And I generally keep the three most recent episodes on my personal site, riverfair.com, which is really the hub for all things River Fair, blog and coaching program and books and whatnot, whatnot. My various offerings in the world, my giveaway, referencing a couple shows back. And if you have tuned into the show before, you know that I view this as a podcast on self-awareness, which is really the theme of all my work in the world. There have been different themes over the year, but they all relate to self-awareness. And that one of the things I advocate through all of these episodes is that you can rewrite the story of your life, largely by making different choices and shifting the dominant paradigm, as I put it, shifting our belief matrix, looking through a different lens, recognizing the places where, last couple episodes in particular, we're creating our own suffering, where we're keeping ourselves stuck. And that leads right into today's show theme of patience and presence. I was chuckling to myself when I was sort of like, what do I want to talk about today? Patience and presence sort of sounds like a Jane Austen novel, Sense and Sensibility or Pride and Prejudice. Patience and presence. I'm going to dive in with the patient's part first. It has often seemed to me, and it still seems to me, that much of life is simply waiting. Waiting for something to happen. Waiting, in my case, for winter to be over. Waiting in queue at the grocery store or at the bank. Waiting for the kids to come home or our partner to come home. Or waiting for something to happen. Waiting for some reward for the work that we have done. Something. We're just waiting. And I more to say about being anywhere but the present moment and how we project our happiness elsewhere. But much of life is waiting. And in that, the nod to self-awareness and the past show of Just Say Yes, which is really about the ways that we keep ourselves stuck and are creating our own suffering, largely through our attachments and projections and resistance and expectations, and all of which definitely relates to patience today. He said, taking a breath. We are, for the most part, most of us, creating our own suffering. I always want to give a nod to trauma as a trained somatic-based trauma therapist. And I do always really wish to acknowledge there is genuine suffering in the world in so many ways. But for most of us, the suffering that we are going through on one level or another is what we're creating ourselves, back to our thoughts and projections and attachments and expectations. Largely that the moment should be different than it is, because I think so. And patience, which I didn't really talk about in the past show, but we're going to explore a bit today along with presence, is, well, definitely a tool for self-awareness. But maybe what I'll jump to is, this isn't probably news to most people, but we are a very impatient culture. Life is hurry busy. In my previous blog and various writings, I used to talk about most people are afflicted with the hurry busy disease. Hurry busy, hurry busy, hurry busy, hurried and harried. We are too busy. We are juggling too many things. We're trying to keep up with the Joneses and in the rat race and all of this, which I'll circle back to this hopefully someplace later in my little adventure today. We don't learn patience overall, and it is a skill. I wouldn't say it comes naturally. Find our way to that. But we are overall an impatient culture, and it just, life is speeding up. Despite the seeming ease, and there is a great deal of ease in our life thanks to technology, but it also has made life much more complicated. I have said in other podcasts, life isn't complicated, but we make it so. And seemingly with the things that are even going to make our life easier, like I've shared this before, once upon a time, email was going to make our lives easier. And now it's simply colonized, for most of us, a large portion of our life. We're enslaved to email. And not that it isn't convenient, but it's taken over for a vast number of people. So this impatience has a, and also along with that, another nod to earlier shows, along with our impatience, we have become incredibly entitled. We are the most entitled culture ever. We deserve everything, and we should have it now, if not yesterday. Even just our instant gratification, or that we can order something online and it should be here tomorrow. And I even fall into this. I recently wanted to send a copy of my recent book to someone in England. And so I just thought, well, I'll order them a copy and have it shipped to them. And I didn't want to order it from Amazon, so I ordered it from another source. And it took several days to reach them. And I found myself being slightly annoyed that it hadn't reached them yet, whereas Amazon would have delivered it to them the next day. Does it really matter, River? I have become very skilled at just catching myself and dropping it, but oh, I have an agenda back to, and it, well, it should be this way. It should be there already. I said at the outset, for most of us, life is not the experience of alignment and flow and ease. Most people, you know, like they are, my own experience for years, swimming upstream or against the current, or perhaps just struggling to stay afloat, or anywhere but alignment and flow and ease, which is what I pretty much always advocate is what happens when we come into radical integrity. But that's been explored in other podcasts and will be, I'm sure, revisited in future podcasts. But the invitation, as I see it, well, let me finish that thought. The alignment and flow and the secret to that, getting into alignment and flow and ease, along with radical integrity, per the last show, is learning to just drop it. Just drop it. My attachment, my agenda, my expectation that this situation or this moment should be different. That's what's creating my suffering almost entirely. And if I drop it, okay, there's just this, whether I like it or not. As I frequently joke with clients in my 8-week signature coaching program, life is perfect, whether you like it or not. It is what it is. And we can, okay, there's just this. Everything else is my attachment or wishing it would be different or my resistance. Okay, what if I just drop that? That right there is the golden key to moving towards alignment and flow and ease and the willingness to relinquish, really, what's keeping us stuck. And learning to become patient, or even simply learning, being willing to slow down. I haven't talked a lot about it in podcasts, I don't think, is sort of occurring to me now, but something definitely I talk about in the coaching program around radical integrity. To come into radical integrity, which for me includes vibrant wellness and health and all levels of being, is really to go counter culture. Nothing in our culture is supporting radical integrity, or even just integrity in general, or really core wellness. Everything instead is about convenience and anything but. And it is counterculture to move towards radical integrity. I would say it's counterculture to slow down. At an earlier podcast, radical simplicity in that. All the things that we are juggling and trying to keep up with, and the reasons why we make our life complicated, and when it doesn't actually have to be, but that it's radical to simplify your life, to make different choices. And that is counterculture. A certain courage and willingness and surrender. And those are all things I've touched on in other podcasts. And those two will make their way back into it, but not so much for today. And patience and presence, other than it is something that most of us need to learn. I would even go so far as to say, when I was first thinking about a theme for the show, what popped into my head was the art of patience. Or the thread for that, for me, is that, as I have shared in other podcasts, and even quite recently as a guest on another podcast show, I've made some guest appearances on 3 shows recently, and not all of those have dropped yet. But something I said in my own podcast on the most recent guest appearance is that mastery is earned. And so back to learning patience, learning to become patient. I know numerous people, they say, I'm just not a patient person, as if that's just how they are and there's nothing that can be done about it. Well, I didn't used to be a patient person. I am now a very patient person for the most part, except for when winter is involved. And even then I'm still, okay, just drop it, River. It's winter. It's not going anywhere. The learning and mastery. Mastery is earned. Mastery, freedom is earned, as I have said again in podcasts. Freedom is earned. Freedom is a mastery, really, of dropping your agenda. It's not quite where I'm going today, but it is what I've touched on with other pieces. That recent podcast that I just mentioned, and the host, at one point, we were talking about just being present with what is. Just this. There's just this. And he's a coach, and he said, well, what about people or clients who just say, well, I can't control my mind. I can't slow it down. I'm just a very impatient person and this or that. I don't think he actually said impatient person, but this was the gist of it. You know, my mind just does its thing. I can't stop it racing and I can't settle it. And I, along with saying, well, yes, it's a skill. And like any skill, it requires practice. And an analogy, if you will, that's often shared in learning sitting meditation, sort of classic style sitting meditation, is that the mind is just ceaseless. I wouldn't personally say that mind is impatient, although it seems that way. That's our overlay of impatience, but mind is definitely pretty ceaseless. Even when we have learned some tools and gained some mastery, mind is always right there with something to chime in, to catastrophize about or worry about or fantasize about, or just, oh, you had a few minutes of silence. Well, you must be ready to hear from me again. So here's what I have to say. And so the analogy of learning a classic sitting meditation, which is usually focused on breath and learning to quiet your thoughts so that you experience a more tranquil, expansive, transcendent, something that you are more than your thoughts, that you are, if that's your belief system, spirit, or a more transcendent, expansive self. I'll just leave it at that. But it's akin to training a puppy, training your mind to be quiet, training a puppy. If you set a puppy down, to learn to sit, having trained a few dogs myself, right, here we go. The puppy has no interest in sitting there. Because I don't get this. What do you want me to do? And he's going to immediately come up and come rag over you to play, to be cuddled, to just be puppy. And you set him back down and maybe you give him a little hand gesture. Sit, wait. He's just not interested. I don't get this. What is the point of this? And that is our mind too. Like, we try to be quiet. We take a breath. Did you remember to turn off the toaster? Did you remember? Maybe you should call someone. Did you check your email? Right there, the puppy. I have no interest in being quiet or leaving you to an expansive place. The training with puppy, however, goes much easier if you have a treat and a clicker. Dog clickers, that is the thing. Click, treat, treat, click. You may give the little hand gesture. The puppy sits for a moment. You click, you get its treat. And really quickly, puppy understands, I do this thing that I have no interest in doing, but seems to please you. It gets me the treat. If I sit, I get the click and I get the treat. And I have joked, if only our mind worked so well with treats and a clicker, what's the treat and clicker that our mind needs to learn to just be quiet, to sit? Well, there isn't one, frankly, or not one that I've found. And so it's just right there. Mind is, and back to mastery being learned. People will say, see, I just give up. My mind is just, it's just right there. I've tried meditating. It doesn't work. And this is not a show about meditating. I myself no longer have a sitting meditation practice, but I am very mindful and quiet about life and often have just quiet modes of reflecting where I do silence my mind, but not any sort of formal practice. And let me say more about mindfulness and presence at the end, time allowing. Mastery is earned. So just come back to the breath, right? There's that thought. My typical peace with mind is, yep, drop it. Yes, dear. Thank you, mind. That's the 100th time you've said that today. Drop it. Back to the breath, back to just this. So patience is an art. It's a skill. We are almost none of us taught patience. I mean, it's certainly maybe they talk about, or you just need to be patient and can't mind. Why? Increasingly, even for adults, why? And I want it to be different. It's our life. I shouldn't be sitting in this traffic jam. It's like we're in a hurry to get to this next moment. That is most of our experience. This, and I've referenced this in an earlier podcast, humans do this very curious thing. We project our happiness. Well, there's two elements to it. We project our happiness into the future. It's never now. And it's always conditional. So it's always in a future moment, pretty much. I'll be happy when, and it's not now, the conditional bit. I get this thing, I get this promotion, I live in this place, this passage is over, whatever. I'm finally married or pregnant or have my house at the beach or I've achieved this many followers or whatnot. It's conditional. It's in the future. It's not now. And pretty much all of us are back to life is waiting, but we seem to be in this hurry to get to the next moment, which arguably isn't any better than this moment. Might be, might not be, but this moment is truly all that we have. There's just this. As if you've tuned into this show before, you hear me say again and again, that's one of those golden keys. There's just this. There's just this moment. And it involves as much suffering as I give it. If I'm willing to drop my agenda that I should be further, I shouldn't be in this traffic jam, or I should have achieved greater success at this point in my journey, or whatever, I should have lost more weight by now, or are the endless things that we are trying to accomplish and feel we should have accomplished by now. There's just this moment. And the next moment arguably isn't better than this one, but we're in a rush to get there. And what if we drop that? We drop that. Okay, well, I can't do anything about this traffic. I'm right here. I can't do anything about what life is bringing me for whatever, my work, my this, my that, my how long I have to wait for that person to respond or the agent to respond, or life is mostly waiting. And also, if you've tuned into the show before, you know that I like to offer what I consider paradigm shifting perspectives. And my preferred way to do that is simply as a what if. What if I have no attachment to any of these views or being right or this is the way, or but what if? What if? And what if this moment that we're feeling impatient about is exactly as it needs to be for some greater reason that far exceeds what we can comprehend or perceive? I remember it was back in massage school, so the early 90s in Boulder, Colorado, where I was going to massage college. And I think it was my stepmother at the time who for some reason had gifted me a Deepak Chopra book, the noted spiritual teacher. And I still remember a line from that book, or maybe it was a subsequent book of his that I read. I haven't read anything of his in 30 years, but this stayed with me, that he said, "The entire universe has conspired to bring this moment about, and it will never come again." And essentially what he was saying is, it's perfect. You're right where you need to be, whether you like it or not. He didn't say that part, but that's what I've sort of tacked on in all the years since. But I have frequently, well, what if? Okay, that's a belief matrix of Deepak and many others. Okay, the universe has created this moment. Other people might say, well, it's just all chance and a result of the alleged Big Bang and all these, they're just different belief matrix. But back to the paradigm shifting perspective, what if this moment is exactly as it needs to be? Meaning you're right where you need to be, though it's not where you want to be. And you're in a hurry to get to that next phase of life, retirement, being the seeming oak tree versus the little sapling, or having this offering to give to the world, or finishing your creative project, the hurry to get to the next passage, the next moment. But what if this moment is exactly as it needs to be? I've shared numerous paradigm shifting perspectives and one recently was, what if everything that is needed for your personal evolution is provided seamlessly, including challenges? And we could just spin that a little bit, turn it to a slightly different facet. That could include, arguably does include, this moment that we're feeling impatient about. When will I be? Okay, right. Maybe the opportunity here, what's the gift? What's the learning? This does take some self-awareness, some presence, arguably, to step back and say, right, what do I need? Or what if I dropped my agenda simply with what is? There's just this. And that perhaps is the segue to presence, being present. Okay, there's just this. Taking a breath. Okay, all of this work to be done that feels overwhelming. Well, there's just this one task. If I drop my sense of overwhelm, okay, there's just this. Presence. Presence is, to me, inseparable from really self-awareness. You have to in some way be present to have self-awareness. Not that you're necessarily deeply embodied or mindful. And I think there's definitely some overlay between these words, embodied, mindful. We could do a whole podcast, I'm realizing, on presence and mindfulness. And those, to me, repeating myself here, are just a little bit different. I'm going to just, for convenience sake, use them mostly interchangeably here. Presence and mindfulness. But this too is not something that we are taught, or most of us, particularly in the West. I have shared numerous places. I grew up in Southern California with two psychotherapists as my parents, doomed to any sort of a normal upbringing. And I learned a lot of, reluctantly, just sort of the household environment, a lot of skills and tools, and definitely a lot about self-awareness, communication skills, interpersonal skills, whatnot. And yet I didn't really learn anything about mindfulness. That wasn't a word that was used much. My mother spoke a bit about presence, which is to be present with somebody, particularly as a therapist, as she was. It wasn't till I went off to massage college in Boulder, Colorado in early 90s, as I've already mentioned, where the first modality you learned there was a Asian style of bodywork called Shiatsu. And so with that, we learned some basics of traditional Chinese medicine, five element theory, and things like mindfulness, as they related to bodywork too. What is it to be present with a client? What is it to be mindful of the experience you're creating? What is it to be mindful of your own embodied experience? And mindfulness, presence, I was thinking also to Watsu, body work, but the power of simply being present with someone. That was something I learned from a couple key teachers on the body work journey, as well as later moving into somatic psychotherapy and Watsu, which was where my mind wanted to jump to. There is tremendous power, arguably healing power, with simply being present with someone. I would say there's tremendous power in simply being present with our situation, definitely with a person. And as someone who's been in the healing professions or helping professions his adult life, it is something I learned early on. And certainly not everybody in those professions learns that. It's something I think that differentiates practitioners, and I won't go down that path, but to simply be present. You in body work, for example, you learn a lot of techniques. Here's how you release this muscle or this fascia, or and body work can be just a bunch of techniques. And I often felt that way sometimes in massage school, like, well, this is just a bunch of techniques. But I was also fortunate to learn a form of body work at that school, which no longer exists, called integrative body work, that had a very different sort of mind-body connection. And would really stress just, it's less about technique, it's more about your presence with this person and creating a space for something to shift and open and allow. And certainly with sitting with somebody in a trauma-based session and letting trauma unwind for the nervous system, it is largely about your presence and patience. And this might unwind really slowly through the nervous system. Okay, my role is simply to be here and be present with this. And the watsu I mentioned, which is a form of warm water aquatic body work. There are multiple forms of it. Water dance, Fasa Tansen, they keep proliferating. But they all stemmed from that pretty much initial watsu. And it's in a pool of warm water. The client usually has some ankle floats on them or knee floats to help give buoyancy and keep them floating. And the therapist is cradling them in their arms. And you learn a sequence of moves, how to move and stretch the body. It's sort of like Tai Chi in the water, assisted Tai Chi. You're lying there floating in this bathtub warmth water. Your ears are just submerged under the waterline, so it's silent. It's very intimate. You're being held by the therapist and profoundly relaxing, profoundly healing. It's an exquisite form of body work if you find the right practitioner. But it too can become, okay, the person's in this position, and if I move them this way, they come to, and that lines up this stretch, and that sets up for this move. And there is a choreographed sequence, or several of them. But I had the good fortune, cosmic alignment, to be with an exquisitely gifted teacher who, in addition to teaching the sequences and other pieces with that, really showed us, and getting to experience it myself, the profound power of just the stillness. Don't get worked up in the next move and the next move and the next move. It's when we give that space of stillness that then perhaps the body begins to unwind, or we feel what's looking to happen here in my hands, and can I just allow that? And I realize I'm talking about body work, and most people, that's not at all their experience, never will be their experience, and certainly in terms of being a practitioner. But what it also taught me is the power of simply being with someone without an agenda. Maybe we learn some things like active listening or reflective listening or nonviolent communication, or the sort of seemingly infinite tools out there for communicating, but just being with someone, maybe a friend who's going through something quite difficult. And most of us, we're not, even if we're just trying to be good listeners, we're already, there's an agenda happening in our head, our own conversation, or we're just politely waiting, maybe politely, some people not so much, just to jump in and then share our experience, or like, I know what you're going through because this happened to me, and then we're suddenly making it potentially about ourselves. And none of that is really presence. To just be present, to listen, to hold space without needing to rehearse or respond, to have an agenda other than, what is it to simply be present with this person with an open, compassionate heart? What is it to simply be present with my life in this moment? This was something I read just a couple of years ago, just a quote someplace. I can't remember the source, but it was one of those lightning moments. Yes. And the quote, there is wisdom in knowing not everything needs a response. Wisdom in knowing not everything needs a response, whether that's sitting with this dear person, just holding space, or life, or a comment. Not everything needs a comment. Not everything needs a response. Not even just the life, the situation that I'm feeling impatient about. Can I simply, this is just a perspective shifting possibility, can I simply be present with what is, even if maybe I'm feeling uncomfortable? A lot of people are uncomfortable with silence. I need to fill it up with silence because the silence is uncomfortable. Can we just be with it? I'm feeling uncomfortable for whatever reason in life or impatient, so I need to do an action. I need to make this different. And not that most people are seeking wisdom. I saw another funny quote. It was on Instagram fairly recently. It said, "Wisdom has long been chasing you, but you've always been faster." So not that most people are seeking wisdom, but there is wisdom in knowing not everything needs a response. It's sort of a standing joke in our house. Sometimes maybe my partner will say something and I'll be quiet and he'll look at me like, right, wisdom, right? Not everything needs a response. Huh? Right? Presence, patience, looking down at my clock going, right. And if you've tuned in before, you've heard me say, well, a half hour, I'm just getting started, but somehow bringing this in for a landing. Maybe I'll just caption a couple of those paradigm shifting possibilities in today's show. One from the previous show, but also this one, that we are largely creating our own suffering through our impatience, which is tied to our agenda, our attachments, expectations, that it should be different. We should be somewhere other than here. What if we dropped that? What if we could just be present with what is? Nobody's saying that's easy. Your mind's going to jump right back in. But what if? Here's another one. So that's where it was segueing to, sequencing to, some way. You can't think of the word you want, make it up. What if this moment is exactly as it needs to be? Your agenda aside, what if? And what if? This one is, in my view, not a question. There is tremendous power in simply being present with a person, with a situation. The power of stillness, the power of now, the only place we can be. There's just this. Just this. Thanks for joining me. Another little journey into self-awareness, patience and presence, sense and sensibility, something like that. I would love it if you rate and follow the show. That helps other potential listeners tune in. On Spotify, it's very easy. You just give the appropriate number of stars up there on the show's someplace, the header there, somewhere at the top of the episode or the show itself. Click the appropriate number of stars, please and thank you. It's more challenging on Apple. In fact, I mentioned this in the other show because somebody asked me and I had to go look how to do it myself. You have to go to the show's page on Apple. So click Radical Being, it takes you there. And you have to scroll down past all the episodes. And then there's a place at the bottom where leave a review or something like that. And you can, again, stars. To leave a review on Apple, you have to have a nickname and be signed in with your Apple. Apple doesn't make it easy for any particular reason, whatever, but reviews and ratings are deeply appreciated. So please and thank you. Here's wishing you a lovely journey into patience this morning, this evening, whenever it is you're tuning into this show. Be well. And be radical.